Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Matthew chapter 1. In a moment, we'll begin reading at verse 17. But Matthew is writing as a Jew to the Jews about a Jew. This is it's a very specific gospel targeted, presenting Jesus as the King of the Jews. It's the it's Matthew who will tell us about the Magi. That's where we hear about the wise men or the Magi, the entourage, who come looking in search of Jesus. They ask one question: where is he who is born King of the Jews? And they'll go on to say, for we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And so often we focus, or people will focus, on the gifts that they brought to Jesus, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. But the gift that they brought to him was worship. They bowed down and worshiped him. And so it's not surprising that Matthew will talk about where is he who is born the King of the Jews. But he'll open his gospel with the genealogy. And he'll talk about, he'll go all the way back to Abraham. Look in verse 17 is where we're going to start. Watch what this says. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. So from Abraham, Matthew will say there are 42 generations. 42 generations have brought us to this place. 42 generations have brought us here to this place. All those years, all those seasons, all those people's lives, all of those events, all of that history has brought us here. 42 generations. When the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, would be born. Galatians will tell us when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son born of a woman. When the fullness of time had come, 42 generations from Abraham to this moment. Matthew 1, chapter 18 says this. Let's read. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Remember his purpose in writing. He's born King of the Jews. He does not write to us like John does. He doesn't take us to heaven. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He doesn't talk about that kind of divinity. Certainly the Son of God was born, but he doesn't focus on the divinity. He focuses on his Jewishness. He doesn't focus, certainly includes in his humanity, but he doesn't focus on his humanity like Luke does. Like Luke, who talks about Jesus being the Son of Man. For centuries, humans have been trying to become like God, but in a moment, Jesus, Matthew tells us, in this early record, God becomes man. The Messiah was born. God's perfect timing, 42 generations, perfect timing. He wasn't late, he wasn't early, just at the right time. It said, and we read that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Why? Why now? All of the accuracy, the pinpoint accuracy, the preciseness of when the fullness of time had come, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Joseph might have thought, why couldn't have this happened a little bit earlier? Why did I give her the ring last week? If I had only waited, we wouldn't be in this place. Missed it by that much. See, Mary would have to take care of the baby, but someone would have to take care of Mary. Someone who's betrothed to her, someone who's committed to her. And the Bible intimately exposes their integrity before they were together. Mary was to be a virgin. There was no room for possibility that she could have a child any other way. It says that she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Next verse says this, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Joseph is referred to as husband. In the betrothal, there was already a commitment in place. It was binding. And God allowed Joseph to make this commitment to Mary, but in his humanity, he was minded to call it off, to unbind this commitment. Everything he knew about Mary could be false. Her faithfulness, her truthfulness, her commitment, her love. How could he trust her? And do you know what shows that he loves her? Even though he couldn't, how can you trust her? Here's the story. But shows that he still loved her. It's the way he treats her. It's the way, look how love acts. In the midst of his hurt, in the midst of his confusion, he didn't want to shame her. He wanted to cover her. He couldn't walk with her, but he would not shame her. He would close their relationship, but he would cover her. People would talk. They would talk about him, and they would talk about her. But it wouldn't be because of him. He would keep things private, not public. It's a different picture of the word justice or being just. We read, and it says, Joseph, being a just man. Just. It's not demanding justice. Instead, it's leaning into mercy. A just person does not demand justice for ourselves. And it is not just to shame other people. Verse 20, 21 say this. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. While he thought, he didn't act, he thought. We could save ourselves a heap of trouble if we thought before we acted, or posted, or talked, or tweeted. Sometimes we can simply act too quickly when it comes to a big decision. And the angel appears to him in a dream. Sometimes I think about, maybe you do too, I think people do, think, I've just got to do everything I can to hear God. I've got to be quiet. I've got to find a still place. I've got to. And I don't know what was going on, all the things roaming around Joseph's heart and his mind and his spirit. But he just went to sleep, and God spoke to him in a dream. I don't mean that we take the attitude kind of cavalier and just say, well, God knows where I am if he wants to talk to me. But there is a confidence that God does know where we are and can get through to us as we open our hearts and our lives and say, speak, Lord, we're listening. We read Joseph, son of David, wasn't Jesus accused of that? Declared, Jesus, thou Bartimaeus will cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And so Matthew is reminding his readers then and us today that Joseph was 28 generations from King David. He's the right guy at the right time. And the angel will say in the dream, don't be afraid. But it's a different don't be afraid. Usually when people, there's an angelic revelation, angel shows up, people are fearing and tremble. But that's not what he's saying, don't be afraid of me. He's saying, don't be afraid to take Mary to you. Don't push her away, but bring her close. Because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, it's the miraculous. And she will have a son. And you get to name him. You'll name him Jesus, which means Savior, salvation. And Mary will bring forth salvation in the form of a person. And salvation is still in the form of a person. Salvation is not in a formula. It's not if you do all the right things, if you live the right way, if you obey enough, if somehow you have more good in the scale than bad, that you're saved. Salvation isn't even in a prayer, even though it may be as easy as ABC to admit, to believe, and confess. Salvation is still in a person. That person is Jesus. We don't preach salvation, we preach Jesus as the Savior and the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, our healer and our soon and coming King. Matthew tells us this, verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Matthew steps outside to speak to his readers and just reminds them what I'm telling you, what we're seeing here. It's scriptural and points us to the Old Testament. Remember, he's talking to this Jewish community, how important it would be that this is the fulfillment of prophetic scripture. Verse 24 says this, Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. It says that Joseph, being aroused from sleep, he was awakened. This was a divine dream, and he was divinely woken up. But watch what happens when he's woken up, what he does. He walks immediately in obedience, took her to be his wife, was not intimate with her. And when Jesus was born, got to name Jesus. Salvation is here. You see, the timing was perfectly right. It was 42 generations from Abraham. The timing was right for Mary. The timing was right for Joseph. The timing was right for the Son of God to enter the world. His timing was right for the Jewish world that Matthew was writing to. God's timing was right for the Roman world. God's timing was right for the Greek world. God's timing was perfect when the fullness of time had come. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. And God does not miss it by that much. But before his timing, there's a lot of waiting. We read 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations, 42 generations of people, all the events, all the things, waiting, looking for, longing. In the midst of that, there is a lot of waiting. And waiting can be hard. How long, O Lord? How long? I read this morning, I was reading in Habakkuk. It begins with, how long, O God? The Psalms are filled with, how long, O God? But the Psalms are also filled with, but I trust you. And Habakkuk will say that as well. Though there be no fruitfulness, though there be no fullness, yet I will still trust in the God of my salvation. I will still rejoice. And so, Advent is about waiting, but it's also about expectation. Just like Mary was waiting she was waiting, she was expecting, and she was hopeful, but she was waiting. I'd like to invite you to await and expect the timing of the Lord. For every promise, for every hope, for every dream that he has placed in your heart that has not yet been fulfilled, may there be an expectant waiting, because his timing is still perfect. It was perfect then, it is perfect now, and it will always be perfect. He's never early, he's never late, he's just on time. Even when we say, Lord, it's about time. Or we look and we say, God, you missed it. Like Mary and Martha, had you only been here. But Jesus, even in the story of raising Lazarus from the dead, would say, this happened because God's going to be glorified in this. Let our waiting never turn into accusation. God, don't you care? God, don't you see? Instead, may we wait and trust in his kingdom timing. There are far too many things at work that we don't know anything about, 42 generations full of them. But can I invite you, whatever you're waiting for, whatever hope, dream, promise, fulfillment, can you wait with God and invite God into your waiting instead of an accusation. And instead of stopping it, how long, O Lord? Invite God into your waiting where we're able to say, Lord, I trust you. Because you are perfect. Not only are you perfect, but your timing is perfect for the things that concern me, the things that concern my family, the things that concern my life. Just trust in the Lord. Lord, we wait because your timing is perfect. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. God, we acknowledge your timing. That it's because who you are, your word tells us that you know the end of a thing from the beginning, that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the author and the finisher. You're he who was and is to come. God, time is no issue for you, and you're perfect. You are perfect in all your ways, including your timing. In all your ways, we acknowledge that you are perfect. So, God, we patiently wait for the fulfillment of every one of your promises. For you are faithful and true. Jesus, they waited and longed for you to arrive. And Jesus, you came in the fullness of time. And here we wait. We wait for your return patiently and eagerly. We say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. God, for all those who are waiting and it's been hard, I pray just the ministry of your Holy Spirit even now. Grace and strength and hope and peace and comfort and endurance and trust. God, I pray for a gift of trust even now. Talks about the gift of faith, and I pray for a gift of trust that we could just settle it in our hearts and lives right now. God, we trust you. You are omnipotent and you are all powerful. And God, you are love. And so we trust in all those things that you know it all, that you see it all, that you're able to do abundantly above all we can ask or think, and that you love us. And so we rest in those things and await your timing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.